when I was going through my cancer, and it's been confirmed even through this time, and I said it to many, many different people, Christians and non-Christians alike, how anybody can go through something like this without a Savior is just unfathomable. It's difficult to do. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the first verse and reading through the 11th verse. And reading these words in Jesus' name. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning asking you to explain all of these words to us, and that you through your Spirit would guide us even as we walk. Father, we know that these words are truth, for you indeed are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing this, he's starting out on this 12th chapter concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren. There was a conflict going on in Corinth at that time. And it was a conflict in such a way that people were considering the gifts that they had as to being better than the gifts that others had. And they were considering to the fact that they were, because we are better than they, then they would take and hold themselves above others. And they got to the point where one would feel more important than the other. And the whole spirit involved in this whole thing was just totally false. So he's addressing this, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you misinformed, is what he's saying. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Well, in today's vernacular, if we were to say that, well, you're carried away unto these dumb idols, it would mean, oh, they're kind of stupid. No, that's not what they're talking about. What he's saying here is these mute idols. In other words, these idols that cannot talk. And that's the way they were. All of the idols that people worshipped back at that time, there was no communication with them. There were people that would try to explain them. There were people that would try to lead others to them, as it says here. But they were just pieces of stone or pieces of wood. He says, even as you were led, or even as you were deceived. Because that's what Satan does. Satan takes us, and he would like us to believe something that is not true. And sometimes he might even try to come up with some evidence, or he would try to persuade us in such a way that, well, look at over here and see how this is or how that is. He tried to do that with Christ. And what was Jesus' comment to him? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. They were indeed being led by those who were not Christians. They were being persuaded to worship these idols. But then they came unto a better way. They came unto faith. And in coming unto faith, they started to recognize the gifts that they had. Well, as I said in the beginning, all of a sudden those gifts started to become important to them. And they started to wander even with those. See how human nature can take a just totally confuse things and mix things up? Try to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, is what Scripture says. Verses 1, actually 1 through 3 in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says it this way. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Don't think of yourself as being important. This was the message that was being spoken to those believers at that time. But does that message also pertain to us? At any given time throughout our life, have we ever thought that, well, maybe I'm a little better than that guy, or maybe I'm a little better than some others? You should never think that way. But yet Satan continues to come, and he continues to tempt, and he continues to try to make us believe and to understand falsehoods. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. It is suspected that that was taking place." There's no real evidence of it. No one can point at anything and say, yeah, this is what he said. But it was suspected that that's why this was written. Because there are those out there. There are those out there that would try and make others believe that Jesus was nothing, thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, there are some that may say that, but do they believe it? But those of us who have received the Spirit of God, those of us who have received that promise that we are saved by the blood of Christ and the crucifying of him on the cross, we can say that Jesus is Lord, even as our sign out there says, Jesus is Lord. And he is the Lord of all, each and every one of us, and all who believe. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Diversities mean that there are many, many gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." What is that one hope? That one hope of your calling is receiving the Holy Spirit and having salvation through Christ. But there are many, many gifts that are given. There's many different gifts given to each and every person. Some have more than one. Some may only have one. Doesn't really matter. But it is the same Lord that gave them. It's not different. There aren't different measure or different people giving out different gifts. It's the same Lord. "And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord." Administrations meaning the different ministries. Whether it be to standing here in this pulpit on a Sunday morning, going to prisons and ministering unto prisoners, going as missionaries out into the world and preaching the gospel. There are many different types of ministries that take place, but the same Lord. There is one God and one God of all. And that one God is indeed the one who gives us the strength and provides for us. And there are diversities of activities, or, well, it says here, there are diversities of operations. Another term for that is activities. There are different types of things that can go on. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Activities meaning there are different things, there are different types of ways of spreading the gospel. There's different types of ways of spreading God's word. I know Harv can agree with me on this because I've heard him say it. That many times when you're feeling down and a song comes to mind, that song will lift your heart. That song will make you realize that indeed God is there. Indeed, salvation lies in Christ. And indeed, the Holy Spirit protects us. All because of a song. Many times it has been said that a song is a sermon. It is. Even the song that we chose, or that Susan chose for the third song, Day by Day. Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Have you ever been in a position where you need that? Every single day, God has to provide the strength to meet the trial that you're going through. He does. He does. And as we read in Isaiah, even if the mountains were moved, even if everything, the valleys were just done away with, even if everything turned into rock, he's still there protecting. He's still there guiding. And he's not going to leave us. He is never, never going to leave us. The songwriter says that I never promised you flower-strewn pathways. I've never promised you a good time. I've never promised you any type of a party or any type of a good life. But what I have promised you is salvation. That is God's promise to us even today. So there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that works in them. God does not change. God is the same today as he was yesterday. He's the same today as he's going to be tomorrow. He's the same today as when Adam and Eve were made. He hasn't changed. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. It's given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the common good of those who believe. It's given to each and every one of us. And you know, the interesting point is here that it's given to each and every one of us by name, because God knows our names. He knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. And he knows that we'll stumble. He knows that we'll fall. And he continues to love us and have compassion for us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. He's now going through the list of the gifts written in here. There are many other places that write about it. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Gives out other gifts that are given. But he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse or many different types of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. These different gifts are indeed given to each and every one of us. Some have, as it says, some have these have a spirit for, or a spirit of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. That's not me, but some have the word of knowledge, but the same Spirit gives it. Another has a spirit of faith. Now, that particular part of it, that verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. It almost sounds like if you were to just take that as it is written, you look at it and you say, to another faith by the same Spirit. Well, yeah, but I have faith, and so does he and she, and you know, and you just start pointing fingers. Yeah, we all have faith. But have you ever run across anyone that has a faith that is just almost supernatural? That regardless of what happens in their life or in someone else's life, that faith does not stumble. That faith does not go away. It's almost as though that they have been given a larger portion. And that faith is such that regardless of what happens, they continue to trust in their God and Savior. And they can use that faith to encourage someone else who's going through a tough time. These are the types of gifts that God gives to each and every one. That faith that God gives is to everyone. But he also knows that there are others out there who can stand a little bit more, add a little more to it, because he knows that they will be able to treat it and do with it as according to his will. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I remember years ago, we were sitting around, and there was a bunch of the older Christians there, and they were talking about people who were faith healers. They were talking about people who could physically heal a physical problem with an individual and have evidence for it. I've never experienced that. But can I look at that and say, no, it can't happen? Why not? God can do anything. And to some, he will give that spirit of healing. Now, that is in a physical sense. But he also gives to us that the spirit, or he gives us the power of spiritual healing, to be able to proclaim unto anyone who is heeding the call of the Spirit at any time and recognizing their own sinfulness, that we as believers can assure them that because of Christ's death, their sins are indeed forgiven. So there's two different types of healing that are involved, and they are both come from God. And to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning the spirits. To another, diverse kinds or many types of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Working of miracles. There are some that have witnessed that. I've heard of it. There's some that will prophesy, or prophesy, and be able to say that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It took place a lot in the Old Testament. But this issue of tongues is a very confusing one to some. Martin Luther says it's just simply speaking. It's just simply reading scripture orally or proclaiming it orally. In the Jewish church back in the day, the rabbis knew that a lot of the churches had different nationalities coming to the church. And because it was a different nationality, they spoke in a different language. So when anyone would get up to read the scriptures or read the scrolls or whatever term you want to use, they would also have someone else get up afterwards and speak it in a different language. And if it were 5 languages, 2 languages, 10 languages, whatever it was, everyone would hear it in their own language. Those people are the ones who could speak in tongues. And there were also others who could interpret it. That if we used to have it quite a lot in our federation, where a Finnish speaker would come who didn't know English and they would translate. It was the same thing. It's not mysterious. It's not speaking gibberish, as some would believe. speaking God's word and interpreting it. That's what it is. And that's all it is. And then in the last verse, he said, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Spirit will give to each and every individual a gift. Some will get two gifts, some maybe three. But the point is that those gifts are not made or given in order to tear apart a congregation as was happening when he first started this. But it was given to strengthen and to uplift. And those gifts are given today for the same reason, to strengthen and uplift a congregation, to be used together and make that congregation viable and make it whole. That those gifts, and a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know what my gift is. I've heard that many times and I've said it myself. But someone else does. There's going to be somebody that is going to enter into your life or has already entered into your life that looks at you and say, hey, you're pretty good at that. You can do those kind of things pretty well. It just seems to come natural to you. Take heed when something like that is told to you. Take heed when something like that is said to you, and you can use it and pray to God that he would continue to give you that strength to contend and the opportunity to use that gift and use it to his glory and to his honor. Scripture says that all things work together for good of those who believe. And the gift that the Holy Spirit gives to us, to each and every one of us, are given so that we all come together for the good of each other. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, as we've already read, but thanking God that you have given me and you have worshiped, you have seen that I can be able to handle this. And praying to him that I would continue to use it in such a way that you would be glorified. Not me, not anyone else. Doesn't matter where the circumstances are. You know, if we're out in our workaday world, if we're doing in our own place, God always needs to be given the glory. Because it is not of us. It is not of anything that we can do. It's what God has done for us. And we then are letting those who do not know him know of who I trust in or who we trust in. My father-in-law told me years ago that if somebody comes up and congratulates you on doing something right, God be thanked. Not me. Because it's God that has done it through me. And it's only God who has continued to do it through me. Because believe me, this flesh is awful close. And I'd love to take credit for it. But I know that if I would, then my next step would be to discredit it. So may he continue to walk with us. May he continue to abide with us. And may we always look to him for whatever it is, wherever we are, whatever it is that we're doing, and that we would give him the praise and glory and honor that he so richly deserves. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, as we would leave even from here, that we would take that word with us and that we would be reminded of it throughout the week. And that when we are given the opportunity to proclaim your love and your compassion, that we would do so willingly and clearly, so that there would be no mistake of whoever it is that we are speaking with, that they would know who we trust in. And Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.